No matter how you're feeling today, happy, sad, neutral, you can't be having a worse day than the following guy I'm about to tell you about. A missing Indonesian man was recently found. He's no longer missing, everyone.
Where was he at?
Inside a 23-foot python. From Time.com, the body of a missing Indonesian man was found inside a giant python on the island of Sulawesi on Sunday, local police said. 25-year-old Akbar Salobiro had been missing for 24 hours after leaving to harvest palm oil on his family's plantation. A search conducted by police found a 23-foot-long python motionless in a ditch nearby.
Aguilar.
Probably like that Thanksgiving coma you go into after eating all that food. After cutting the snake open, the man's body was reportedly found inside.
My God.
So we could be upset about what's going on with the Raiders. We can be upset about that first quarter last night. We can be thankful that we're not inside a python right now.
Do you think he didn't hear the python? Mm-mm. How do you...
The greatest job.
How does that happen?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
That's a good
help
question.
Me out.
How does that happen? How do you one day have a tombstone erected over your body saying that you met your demise inside of a 23-foot python?
Well, I tell you what.
Heart attack's my way. That's my preferred. I'm going out heart attack.
You know what, Joe? I got the question. Dim's not even here. Just like in that little book, that little serpent was over time and pressure. I was able to deceive Eve. That serpent was able
617,
to...
617, first Bible reference?
Yeah. Let me open my book.
Wow.
That's all I got.
What was this guy doing? Was he like sleeping in the field and the snake just came up on him?
Maybe he got hurt.
Woo.
Fell down.
Even then, I don't care. I could lose a leg out in battle. I'm not... That's not how I'm going.
He didn't respect that snake. Isn't that crazy? A snake that can barely move. That big of a snake.
Those things can move.
That big.
You ever seen Ice Cube's movie Anaconda?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Those things move.
That's a movie, man. That big old snake's too heavy. It's too big. It doesn't move fast. So it's crazy, though. How could a snake do that? I'll tell you what.
If an anaconda started wrapping you up, could you get free?
No. It depends on what the size it is.
An anaconda, huge.
Well,
you're going down. That's how Lo Neal's going. First time Lo Neal's ever admitted he loses something.
Yeah, I
just
see him.
I paused.
That's it. Just watching you get popped like a grape.
Why would you say something like that, Joe?
I don't know.
But you
6:18 in the morning. What else do I have going on? All right, the latest from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. This came out yesterday. Should the situation get dicey, hostile, in Oakland this year for the Raiders, the team is considering a potential move to one of two locations for where they would play in 2018 and possibly 2019 before landing in Las Vegas. Option one, it's been thrown out there before, Levi's Stadium, sharing with the Niners down in Santa Clara. Option two, San Antonio? Now, Mark Davis has flirted with San Antonio as a relocation destination before. Do you give that option much credence, Lo Neal?
You have to, because they've been down there and they've done some research, market research, and they thought about going to San Antonio, even moving the team. We remember that as well. But it's just interesting that we're even there. We've been talking about that. It's interesting that when you have pride, the getting away of sometimes situations, Joe, it can destroy relationships. Now you want to hear a city councilman talking about he wants them out of here, pack up now. Why? He's speaking with emotions. Why would you do that? And even though it's hard and painful this may be, now you start that. For what? And so I really believe that the Raiders should stay here and for, you know, these next 2 to 3 years. But I think if they had to be out of San Antonio and playing in the Niners Stadium, I believe it or not, it might be San Antonio.
Guru, Niners Stadium makes sense. It was built for two teams. It's located regionally. Wouldn't be that much of a hassle to figure out. But San Antonio, I get where the Raiders may be coming from here because Lo laid out the reasons why, but would Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, be cool with Raider Nation moving into his backyard for a couple seasons? I don't know if a businessman like Jones is going to be too fond of that idea.
Yeah, and you talk about an owner who basically is the commissioner of the NFL. I don't think he would have any of it. And I know people are emotional, Joe. The Raiders need to play out their contract and leave to Las Vegas when they do and only be in Oakland. When you got to go take an exit in San Antonio or Santa Clara, it just looks like it's orphanage. I don't want that. People need to grow up. Everybody needs to be mature. Respect what the Raiders built. Respect where they're going. enjoy the success, the W's that are about to come, and have them stay here. They need not to go anywhere else. And I just get irritated when I hear this talk because the story just grows and it makes it worse.
Fair point. It's an emotional situation. We've talked about the five stages of grief. We're in stage two, anger. There is a lot of emotion at play here, and none of it's positive. If you want to find a way to make something like this work, to simmer the emotion of the fan in the East Bay to the point where you could remain for 3 years in Oakland, because remember, how expensive is it going to be to take this entire franchise to San Antonio for 2 years only to turn around and then move it to Las Vegas? It's a lot of money at play there, right? Stay in the East Bay, save that money. Now, you might be saying, well, you know, the fans aren't going to want it. They want to kick him out. Well, then how do you make the fans feel a little bit better about the situation? Four words. Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch. Extend an olive branch to the fans. Maybe you end up overpaying for Sherman. Lynch, we've already gone through how you could acquire him. I don't think it's going to take the end of the world to pull that one off. Seattle, everything, I think everyone would be cool with it. Sherman's on the block. You could use help at that position. Extend an olive branch to the fans. Realize that, you know what? It may be cheaper to stay in Oakland over the next 3 years. So let's go out and spend in a manner in which would make that happen. How do you make the fans get back on your side, at least to an extent? Bring in Sherman, bring in Lynch. You start to build excitement. You start to take people's mind off of relocation. Suddenly everyone's talking Super Bowl. Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch in silver and black? I don't care what you say about Sherman maybe being towards the end of his career. He's got enough left in the tank for the next 2 to 3 years to give you a significant run. He's got a ring. He's been in 2 Super Bowls. He knows how to lead. I'm not worried about the mouth because I know it's all passion that guy is bringing to the table. You do that, you don't have to worry about spending the money on San Antonio. You spend it on those two players. You calm the fans down for a little bit, and everyone might be able to get along for the next 3 years. God willing, you bring a Super Bowl here, everybody goes out at least on somewhat friendly terms. Am I too off base?
No, you're really not. That's what you couldn't ask for a better plan than that. If you get the fan base and understand what you're bringing in Richard Sherman and bringing in Beast Mode, you automatically, whether you're mad or disappointed, you know if your kid, you tell your kid, don't do that, and he does it anyway and you're disappointed, and then you're watching the next play go hit a home run. You're disappointed maybe because he didn't take the trash out, but when you go out there to the ballpark or watch him do something, you're like so excited. That's what you'd be getting. The fans are like so disappointed in the Raiders and the organization in the move. So they're so angry, like you're talking about, Joe, the second part of emotion. But if you bring in two people like that, even though that emotion is still there, they're going to look and smile and say, man, that's still my team.
Chewy in Oakland, thank you for calling the program. Does it matter to you where the Raiders play over the next few years?
No, it really doesn't matter. To me, being from Oakland and them leaving us and then coming back and giving us a $90 million deficit, we really don't care where they play. But, you know, we do want them to bring the Super Bowl here to Oakland. That would be the best thing, you know, sign Marshawn and Sherman, which would be all right, and bring the Super Bowl. But for them to really talk about how they're going to remove, or Mark Davis, how is he going to really remove this $90 million deficit? He can't just leave our city of Oakland and just leave us with that kind of bill. You know, that's like, he's kind of, how could he say it?
Rick Kamala from NBA TV. Here's a question for him. When Kevin Durant comes back, how dramatically is it going to affect this team's current mojo? All that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Right now, NBA TV analyst and host on 902. Thinking about Jenny Garth again. 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. You can follow him on Twitter at NBA TV Rick. Rick Kamala with Joe, Lowe, and the Guru on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Fellas, great to be on with you. I'm on like 3 hours and 50 minutes of sleep. In about a half hour, I'm going to do my radio show here in Atlanta, and I anticipate many of those teeny little blunders that you just had, man. It's going to be called a tricky Thursday here in Atlanta. But I'm psyched, man. I was on the air with Dennis and Shaq last night till the wee hours, and we had a ball all night long. And you guys had a very impressive win last night.
All right, so let's begin with that. A 22-point deficit in the first quarter in San Antonio, a house of horrors for the Warriors over the past few years. At that, was there any point, considering it was a road back-to-back, where in the first quarter you thought, you know what, it's not the Warriors' night, this one's probably over?
I did think that early on, yeah. And, you know, the Spurs had won the first two, so you're kind of... Now, all you have to understand that I think the Spurs are overrated. I think they're, you know, an exceptional regular season team. I just don't trust them in the playoffs anymore. I don't think their overall athleticism is good enough. I don't think it matches up with the beasts of the West. And at the point guard position, I just don't think it's enough. I mean, I like Patty Mills as a backup point guard, but I think Tony Parker, you know, if he was throwing a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, he's throwing like 87 right now, and he has some good nights. And then he has a lot of nights where it's like, San Antonio needs more at that position. So I had all those thoughts going in, but then I'm like, all right, second of a back-to-back. They'd won eight in a row. They'd gotten their mojo back. So, you know, maybe they can afford to lose one of these games. But it proves to me how championship locked in Golden State is. And like, I already thought and knew that they had their mojo back, but now it's, like, on to another level. Now it's back to that uber dominance that Golden State has had with the three straight 60s, you know, winning 73, two straight trips to the finals, like, all of the records and all of the history that they have done. Like, that team is back, even without Kevin Durant. And I thought that was a major statement win last night. Shaq and Dennis both agreed. They were both talking about what a major statement that was by GSW.
Tell me, what were you more impressed with last night? The Warriors starting five or the role players of the Warriors?
Great question. Well, you know, it's equal because Iguodala has been raging lately, like last two, 3 weeks. You know, that like look away Eurostep jam he had, I think it was last week, was like, whoa, that's one of the dunks of the year. You know, he had a big three last night. I think he had 14. David West was awesome last night against his former team, had 15, made a bunch of other plays. So they were very impressive. But, you know, and then the Splash Brothers, I mean, they did their thing last night against one of the best defensive teams. And also, you know, you guys, and we look at the metrics all the time on NBA TV about how dominant the defense has been for Golden State during this nine-game winning streak. And, you know, Kawhi didn't even get to 20 points last night. Which I think speaks to that. So I'm very balanced in my you know, impressive of last night's game. I think there's just a lot of good going on with Golden State right now.
Rick, speaking of the defense, I've watched a lot of basketball, and I know the Warriors get a lot of credit for their dynamic offense, but it's the team defense concept that's just blowing me away with the Golden State Warriors. And I sat back and I said, who do they remind me of, team defense? And it was the Jordan Bulls with Pippen. Am I getting a little too carried away with that comparison?
I mean, are you? I had some chatter here at the radio station. Are you saying do people compare Steph and Clay to Michael and Scottie?
No,
I'm sorry.
When I look at Iguodala and Clay and the way that this team is playing team defense, I can't remember a team being that good except the '96. You know, the Jordan Bulls with Jordan and Pippen.
Yeah, I mean, great point. I wouldn't put Clay Thompson and Iguodala on that level. Quite. I mean, I think it's close, and they've got a ring to prove it, and Iguodala has a Finals MVP award to prove it. But, I mean, when you talk about Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, I think they're the best, you know, 2-3 defensive duo ever. And I don't think anybody's going to be that good because you have the both end, I'm working on no sleep, but I have to kill you mentality of Michael Jordan. And you had the unbelievable versatility of Scottie Pippen. You guys remember how Pippen used to guard? He would dig down if it went into the deep post to a big. Scottie would dig down and hedge on a double team, and then if the big kicked out to the three line for what they thought was an open 3-point shooter, Scottie would then spider out and get a good close and make that a contested shot. He's one of the best defensive players of all time. Mike is one of the best defensive players of all time. I don't know if I'm there yet with Clay and Iguodala. I think they're among the best defenders in the NBA today. But to call them all-time greats on the defensive end, I don't know if I'm willing to go that far.
Rick Kamla, NBA TV analyst, host on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, joining Joe Lowe and the Guru on 95.7 The Game. Warriors cooking with gas, 9 in a row. Kevin Durant, the rumors are that he'll be back somewhere in that final 3-game stretch of the regular season. How difficult is it going to be to integrate him back into the lineup? Now, I know people think that's foolish. Oh, my God, it's Durant. Everything will be fine. But you've really got something special going on now. Not to say Durant will hurt that, but will it take them more than, say, a playoff series to get back to where they need to get to?
Maybe, but, I mean, they're going to be playing, you know, Portland or Denver, and they're going to beat them. Look, I like what Portland has going on. I love the improvement that Jusuf Nurkić has made. He's going 14-10 with 2 blocks since he got there, and he's been a big part of why they're now above the playoff line. And as you guys know, Denver is just not the best matchup for Golden State. They play the same pace. They can put up 120 just like you. So, you know, that would be an entertaining series. I think Denver might be able to get one. I think Portland might be able to get one. But even if that's an integration and acclimation series for Kevin Durant and Golden State, I actually think that's perfect, right? You've got like a legitimate opponent, but not an opponent that can beat you. So you can kind of figure stuff out, experiment a little bit, and figure it out before you get into the tall cotton of the second round. So I'm not worried about it. And the fact that, you know, Kevin Durant was rolling before he got hurt, and the fact that they were winning, you know, Steph was eating, Clay was eating, KD was eating. And I understand that, you know, Steph was deferring a lot in November and December. Then he got it rolling. And now he's, you know, back to being badass, 2-time MVP Steph. I'm not worried about it. I think Golden State's going to be fine. I think that what they got to worry about is those guys, those Cavaliers in the finals. I don't know if you guys can beat them.
When you look at David West, we all know about the pay cut he took to his quest to get a ring. Rick, I mean, the guy has just been playing exceptional basketball. How shocked are you at what you've seen from David West, the veteran?
You know, I'm not. If he'd been doing this all year, I'd say I'm shocked. But I think he realizes this is the time of year where you got to trigger it in. And, you know, David West had a lot of quiet games first half of the season. And he's coming on. I think he's a vet. He realizes, I can't go full bore in November, December, and January. Give me to the All-Star break. I'm going to, you know, play and do my best out here and try to help us win. But I'm going to take it to another level. Look, David West, the guy who left $11 million on the table to leave Indiana for San Antonio ring chasing last year. We know how that went. He is now ring chasing with you guys. And, you know, it'd be really cool. It'd be a really cool story to see David be successful and get that ring. But he is really going to help you guys in the playoffs. He's going to win a game or two, I believe, and be the difference in a game or two in the playoffs.
Rick Kamla, NBA TV analyst, host on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. You can follow him on Twitter at NBA TV Rick with Joe Lowe and the Guru on 95.7 The Game. Rick, every time we have you on, it's very insightful. Thank you so much for your time. Hopefully you get some sleep later today, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it, man. Take it easy.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Good God, what a game last night. 110-98 is your final. So, like, if you just wake up and see it, it's, oh, the Warriors found a way to beat the Spurs in San Antonio. That's pretty impressive. Down by 22 in the first quarter. It was 15-0. The wife and I are washing the baby in the sink, and we've got it on in the background, like, 15-0.
Right.
Damn. Then it was 23-3. I'm like, all right, well, this is getting mixed into the schedule. Whatever. Sure. Look forward to Houston on Friday. And then they just pieced it together, just piece by piece, grinded back into it. And again, the focal point can be on what they did offensively, but take a look at what happened in this game defensively. After the first quarter, San Antonio was held to 24 points in the second, 20 points in the third, and 21 points in the fourth. By the end of that game, they were the ones that got their butts whooped.
And maybe I need to get a life, but I watched the game again, and the one thing that jumped out at me, fellas, is Leonard is the only player on the Spurs that can create his own shot. After that,
He's good at that, too.
He is good, but after that, the Spurs have nothing, Lowe. There's nobody else that can create their own shot. And when you're going up against this Warrior defense, that you're in trouble.
I just look at it that you saw a team in the Spurs that is still – probably arguably the second best team in the NBA. So when you say that they can't do things, it's amazing because you saw them motorboat the Cavs last week. You saw them, they're still a good team. It just goes to show you what the Dubs can do once they put their mind to it. That to me, Joe, I like to talk about, that was the tale of two tales. That was George Foreman and Ali. If you remember the great, you know, the Thrill in Manila, when those two fought, everyone said, oh, my God, he's killing Ali. And Ali was doing a rope-a-dope, and he just was hitting him. It looked like Ali's taking Ali's head off. That first quarter, they were just – it was nothing to – they were suffocating him. They were causing turnovers.
The glass. The Spurs were killing the Warriors on the glass. It was 18-7 in the first quarter, Coach.
I was like, oh, my God. Like you said, I was thinking, this one's done. Just seeing them just get dismantled. And you saw, look at him. Papa even called timeout with everybody 15 just to look at him and say, all right, stay focused. It was Ali Frazier, Ali Foreman. And what did they do? They came back, man, and just kept grinding. You saw the fight start to take. You start the Warriors start to get steam and cut it down. At halftime, you're like, wow. You look down and you're like, this team's down by three. Amazing.
You know what the best part about this is? For so long, the Warriors struggled with this franchise in San Antonio. We all know about the streak. And every year in the Kerr era, we've talked about, well, you don't want to face the Spurs in the Western Conference playoffs. You got trouble in San Antonio. You can't let the Spurs get the number one seed because you won't be able to win in San Antonio. I think last night's game erased all that, because the next time they get together, if the Spurs are finally able and up to the task of meeting this team in the playoffs, they're the ones that are going to have the mental problems. They're the ones that are going to have to remember this game, how they were rested, they were healthy, it was their home floor, the Dubs were on the second half of a back-to-back, and instead of hammering them, they took a 22-point lead and turned it into a 12-point loss where their fans poured out of the building with 5 minutes to go in that game. That's not easy to get over.
And they did it without arguably their best player, Kevin Durant. If you're the Spurs, morale has to be at an all-time low after that debacle last night.
And they beat you, and you got to realize you had KD, and they beat you the first game. They motorboated you the first game of the season, but the time you didn't know anything. You didn't have the gel, the chemistry.
I threw down a lot of drinks at that game. We were out there. Oh, yeah. I remember looking up being like, when's the finishing kick coming here?
Yeah, exactly.
This is just getting worse.
Like, over five, Joe? Under five.
With drinks?
Yeah.
Over before the game even started. Yeah. What's wrong with you? What kind of questions?
And after watching the game, you're like, all right, let's just keep it going, because it was just they never had a chance. But as I digress, what I'm trying to say is, the game Friday to me, Joe, what the Warriors can show me Friday that I'm willing to say they'll win it all Friday.
Oh, what can the Warriors do for you Friday, Lo?
Friday, that will be unendoubt that I can say that they'll beat the Cavs or anyone. If it's going to determine Friday night for
why?
Me. Why? That's a great tease, wasn't it? I'll tell you after the break.
Well, yeah, but we're not going to a break. We're not going to a break. We got like 10 more minutes.
Okay.
Look at this guy teasing. Great tease. So dead air for the next 7 minutes.
Because I'm done. I'm already commercials. Now, Friday means nothing for me, Lo. Friday means nothing.
It means nothing.
Now, so am I supposed to allow you to follow this up, or do you want me to tease it to tomorrow?
No. I like that, because
coming up on Friday, Lo Neal with an angle that would blow your mind.
It will. Do you want me to tease it Friday? Because this is such a great angle. Joe, this friggin' angle is going to blow your mind. I'm going to tell you now.
No, I want to hear it now. I want to hear it now. I think the fans want to hear it now. How about this? If you want to hear it now, hit us on the text line, 95795. PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Lo, it feels like he thinks he's about to spit fire.
Oh, my God.
So if you want to, if you're wearing your suntan lotion, you're driving around the bay this morning, and you're going to be able to prevent that burn. 95795. Do you want to hear this hot take?
And if they be
call the fire department.
And if the fans are honest, they'll call you after the text line would be honest. They're gonna say, wow, Lo, Neal, that is a hot take. Dibs, I mean, you really look Guru's talking about no way, it can't do nothing for me Friday. When I tell you guys this, I guarantee Joe, I'm gonna change his mind.
He believes it, Joe.
Text line's going nuts. They want to hear your hot take. So the take is, if the Warriors can win on Friday against Houston at Oracle Arena, you will 100% be officially convinced that they're getting by everybody else, and they're going to win another championship.
Yes.
Why is that? Go.
3 nights ago, who did this team play? And they're going to play again Friday.
I think they were off 3 nights ago.
Well, they put 2 nights ago. They played the Rockets.
Houston, got it.
They played the Rockets, both teams heading to the playoffs that they may meet. Let's just say this is a playoff game. Both teams, the first playoff game, I want to win bad because I want to try to decide where this series is going, right? Take care of the Rockets. Okay. The second night, you freaking go to San Antonio. So you got to realize now the intensity that San Antonio's believing, hey, this is the first playoff game. I'm fired up. Dubs already got one win. They already thinking, oh, my God. Everyone said, how are they going to play a team that's rested, that's heading to the playoffs? And last night, they just came out of an emotional win beating the Rockets, who's got one of the best three-point games. Now you get ready to go into San Antonio, and you're going to try to win there, and you got a chance to go up 2-0 in the series. That team now is going to say, I'm ready to fight even a little bit more because I'm down. And the Dubs already played the night before in a high-pressure environment. Now they played. Now you got to look what they did last night. Now Friday, you got a team in the Rockets that's coming back in, getting ready to go down 2-0 in the series. If they can hold that off, you just went through 1-3 teams that are always that are playing emotionally higher than you because of the circumstance. And if they can beat the Rockets, you can't tell me three games. And then last night they got to stay in San Antonio and party and hang out. The Dubs did if they wanted. And then they flying back today. This is the mother spots of talking about why I should lose this game. If they lose this game, everybody think they should lose that game because the gauntlet that they have had to travel with these three, my God.
Eh.
Give us a letter grade, Joe. Give us a letter grade. I'm gonna give him an A minus.
It was emotional. I was engaged.
He was ready.
I was engaged to it. I was wondering where the hell it was
coming.
Going.
Is what Lowe's saying. Houston coming for him.
What do I do with that?
I helped you out.
I'm glad you're fired up for it. I'm going over. I haven't been over for a little while to a Dubs game this season, so I'm going over for that one. So clearly I'll be on high alert. Forget about the drinks for this game, Guru. I've got to stay completely sober. This is the most important game this franchise has ever played. Friday night against James Harden and the Rockets. You know what?
He's getting a B plus. The text Christ. Line, they're giving him a B plus.
That was a deep take, coach. Yeah, Joe,
text line is all over the place on that one. All over the place.
Dessert, they're calling it low.
Jesus Christ. speaking of hot takes, here's a little transition for you. Any Warrior fan who's on social media or who follows sports media in general, you know there are a few individuals out there who are kind of like making their bones on being anti-Warrior. Nothing against these people. Respect them, listen to them, watch them. Nothing against it. Everyone has their opinion. It's what makes sports great. We can detach from some of the real world issues, and you can get mad at these guys for having these opinions, but come on, they're hoops opinions. At the end of the day, we got bigger problems, right? We got bigger problems. The best, however, though, is watching the hot take guys who don't like the Warriors, who have talked about LeBron this, Cleveland this, the Warriors are done, the Warriors are better without Durant, man.
Can you mention some names, Joe?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to mention any names because I like all these guys. I like all these guys, so it's no disrespect.
I do, too.
But it's nice watching those takes blow up on them. Like in the first quarter, I told you, this team, it's Spurs are too tough, Houston's too tough, Cleveland's too tough, LeBron's coming. And then, you know, by the time the game ends, it's, I mean, what do you say? How do you possibly go hot take anti-Warrior after that game last night? Like, that's one of those, you know what? I just got to tip my hat. I got to shut my mouth and tip my hat. All been there before. I'm there three times a week at least.
I had to tip it. Last night, Joe, I had to tip it. Because you got to realize, Friday, if San Antonio, if the Rockets say, you know what? We're not going to play our starters. They're conceiving. They're saying it's over. You got to realize, if I'm the Dubs, I'm like, let's go out and just knock them out. That's just a psyche. What they did last night to being down by 20 points against one of the better teams, the second best team in the NBA, and to make that comeback, the duration of what they had to go through being down by 20, the grind of that mentally and physically, the Cavs couldn't do it. They were down by and got crushed by, they got motorboated.
From the 925 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, Akbar from Indonesia has better hot takes inside a snake than that, Eddie from Brentwood.
Hey, go to hell, Eddie.
If you're just joining us, a man in Indonesia who was missing for 24 hours, he was found inside of a 23-foot python. We touched on that this morning. I'm not sure we're heading back there. Eddie in Brentwood is claiming that Akbar inside that snake has better hot takes. I'll side with you over the guy inside the snake. I'm going to take low on the guy inside the snake.
I like to take low.
It's a good take. It's a very emotional take. All right, here's what's going to happen next. Two locations have surfaced for where the Raiders can play football after 2017 before they go to Vegas. One of them may surprise you. We want your opinion on whether or not you'd attend the other next. 888-957-9570. Joe Lowe and the Guru, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
His name is Ronnie Reyes. Get to know him because he's the individual who presented Klay Thompson with a toaster to sign a few weeks back. Klay was a bit confused, but he signed it. And since then, the Warriors are 9-0. Ronnie Reyes is joining Joe Lowe and the Guru on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Ronnie. Did you ever think this kind of fame was coming your way?
To be honest, how's it going? Good morning, by the way. But to be honest, I really didn't think that this whole thing was going to blow up like it did. Like, I originally put it on Reddit. I thought it was going to be funny. You know, I just want to... Because at the time, we were on a three-game losing streak. We just lost to San Antonio by, like, 50 points or whatever. And the subreddit was... It was pretty... It's pretty gloomy. And I wanted to... After the sighting, I just wanted to share the pictures. And it happened.
Okay, so, Ronnie, take me through the process. Why a toaster? What made you decide, I'm going to try to get Klay Thompson to sign a toaster?
Well, I originally wanted... Okay, let me start from the beginning. First, I got my sister a toaster for Christmas. And then we used that as a family toaster for a while. And then the next year, my cousin got me the same one. And then I realized, like, what am I going to do with the toaster? And then I found out that David Lee, a few weeks after, was going to have a signing somewhere, and I wanted to go. So I was like, you know what? I don't have anything David Lee to sign. Let me go and bring my toaster.
So did David sign it?
He signed it. Yeah, he signed it. He first thing he said was, is that a Warriors toaster, bro? And I'm like, yes, Mr. Lee. Yes, it is indeed a toaster.
So David Lee signs it, and you decide, yes. I guess, what is this, a year later now, that you have the option to get Klay, an autograph from Klay Thompson, so you're going to try to have him sign it as well. The look on his face was priceless when that happened. Oh, did he definitely say anything to you?
I asked him if he's ever signed a toaster, and then he was like, what, a toaster? No, I haven't seen that before. And then the look on his face when he got confused, he was really just looking at the signatures. He saw David Lee. I guess he couldn't make out his signature. He saw Draymond's, and he was like, oh, yeah, I see Draymond right there. And I was, like, pointing it out at him. And then he was really just studying the toaster. But but that picture was, it was a great, it was a great, like, a candid picture.
Has this been a whirlwind for you? Have you done a lot of radio shows, a lot of friends calling in saying this toaster's getting national attention? What are some of the things that you've, what's come with the territory?
Well, I don't know. It was just surreal to me when ESPN contacted me. Everything else, I'm like, okay, it got a little bit of traction on social media. I had a couple friends text me and everything, but it really got big when ESPN put it up. And then that was when my Twitter blew up. That was when Reddit blew up. My sister was getting Facebook notifications. My parents were getting Facebook notifications. It just got everywhere so quick.
Ronnie, so tell us about how you were received at Oracle Arena. You show up with the toaster.
I didn't actually show up with the toaster. I called beforehand. I think it was a Magic game, and I wanted to see if I'll be able to bring the toaster in. I wanted to see if I could talk to, you know, the front office, I guess, to try to bring it in. And they said they wouldn't let me bring it in. So when that happened, I thought, you know what? Let me just bring a sign. Let me let people know that they wouldn't let me bring the toaster in. So I printed something out, and then I just brought it. Yeah.
So Ronnie Reyes, by the way, the man with the toaster, Klay Thompson signed, the man that has single-handedly sparked this 9-game winning streak with Joe Lowe and the Guru on 95.7 The Game. What's the goal now? This toaster has become quite important to all Warrior fans. Are you protecting this thing? Do you need Secret Service? Do you intend, or are you willing to take the risk to get more people to sign it? Because you don't want to go jinxing what you've got going on.
I definitely want more people to sign it. I want, like, as many Warriors to sign it, whether they're current Warriors, past Warriors. Actually, you know what? The number one person I want to sign the toaster, Andres Bjerns.
Really? Why is that?
Because he is the best Warrior center in the past decade.
Okay. That's just unbelievable. Ronnie Reyes, ladies and gentlemen, the man with the toaster, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Ronnie, we appreciate your time this morning. We know you got to get to work in a little bit, but we look forward to seeing you out at Oracle, and hopefully we can catch up soon.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys could hook it up with some tickets or something, I mean.
Shoot, we were getting ready to ask you, when's the book coming out? Hell, when's the movie? Hell, the toaster, the magic toaster.
Lowe's looking to ride your coattails. You got more fame than him right now.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you. Thank you.
You got it, Ronnie. We'll see what we can do about the tickets. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys calling or talking to me. Thank you.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And Marcus hits it high in the air, deep left center field. Going back on this from center is Span. He will turn and watch, and it is gone. And Semien unloads on Samardzija, a three-run home run to left center field. It's 4-0 A's in the top of the second inning.
Gotta love those sounds. If you're down at AT&T Park tonight, holler at your boy. I'll probably be at Tony Slice's house. I'll be walking around the outfield pounding some brews. Baseball is back, the Bay Bridge Series, tonight. Coverage begins 6:15 p.m. right here, 95.7 The Game, with Uncle Tony hosting the A's dugout show. First pitch, 7:15 p.m., AT&T Park. Your pitching matchup for this evening, one Johnny Cueto for the San Francisco Giants and Sean Manaea for the Oakland Athletics. Vegas does have a line on this, and the Giants are a huge favorite, minus 170, meaning risk $170 to win $100. So, baseball's back. I don't know if you guys are going tonight or tomorrow or Saturday at the Coliseum. Everyone's going to be mixing and matching.
Of course.
No matter who you talk to at the station. But apparently the whole team will be out Monday, full force, opening day. You can catch us in the lot. Guru, you're going to be joining us as well, right?
No way I miss it. I'm there.
All right. So now we'll dispense with the fun portion and we'll get into a little bit of baseball talk because we've got to get ourselves ready to go here. Start with the A's. What is going to be... And we want to hear from you as well. What is going to be considered a successful season for this club? We're only just a couple years removed from back-to-back playoff appearances, right? But last two seasons haven't gone according to plan. You've had defensive woes. You've had cluster luck issues. We don't need to get too into it. But you've got what looks to be a pretty deep back end of your bullpen. You got a 40 home run guy in Chris Davis. Marcus Semien hit 20 bombs last year and continues to get better in the field. And you've got a rotation that brings a lot of intrigue. Kendall Graveman looking to take the next step, as is Manaea. Jarrell Cotton, very appealing. This season, Lorenzo Neal, we'll begin with you, and then we'll turn it over to the callers, 888-957-9570. What would you consider a successful campaign for the Oakland Athletics?
Joe, I really believe that they're going to finish him with that 73-78. Anywhere in there, that's what I believe that they're capable of doing. Anything else, anything else is overachieving. I think that they have some talent. But if you can get anywhere from that 73-78, I think they fall somewhere in there, Joe.
Guru, hit me with it. What would you consider to be a successful season?
After 2012, I'll never doubt this team. And if they can go to September vying for a wild card possibly, and that's the beautiful thing of the wild card, I will consider that a successful season for this young Oakland A's club.
What would you consider successful for Sonny Gray? Hopefully, according to plan, he should be back, ready to pitch, sometime towards the middle to end of April. No one's going to rush him, obviously, because he's a very valuable asset coming off a disappointing season, which we all hope is an anomaly. But for me, I say strike now. I've been making the case that this would be the opportunity to do a nice buy low on Sonny Gray. Maybe he would be thinking to himself, let's get the money while we can get it in case something goes south here. But that's a story for another day. Your anticipation for the team staff ace this season, Guru.
You know what? I'm a grade with the curve. I just want Sonny to be available and not have stints again on the disabled list because they are popping up more frequent, and I see a lot of parallels with Matt Cain, and I hope he's not on that track, Lo. I hope that Sonny Gray can be this veteran pitcher. I know he's young, but for this team, he's their veteran. This staff needs him, and I just hope he's available and can avoid injury.
Joe, I look at this, Sonny Gray. He's a lot like a situation when people say, oh, my God, what is this guy going to do? Is he, you know, is he streaking? Like we talked about the Dubs. Oh, my God, the Dubs went cold. Katie goes down. You know, they went cold. But what did Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and that team keep doing? They kept shooting. They didn't give up. And now look at the way they're playing. Guru, hell, people are giving up. You're like, oh, my God, it's problems. The Dubs ain't looking good. It's problems. He's in a slump. But all he did was keep shooting and keep, what he do, positive reinsurance. Sonny Gray is going through what the Dubs are going through for that little short time. He's got to realize I can pitch and I can do it well. And no matter what, even though I'm getting rocked and I'm getting beat up at times, beaten up on a mound every time I walk out, until he gets that confidence and can keep pitching that thing, I think you'll see this guy continue to struggle.
Sam from Walnut Creek, thank you for calling the program. What would you consider a successful season for the Oakland Athletics?
morning, fellas. Thanks for having me on. I wanted to say that I believe the season is already a success before we've even hit the first day of opening day. With the new operations manager, Dave Cavill, taking over, the whole movement of rooted in Oakland, I think we're looking at a future that's bright and a future that we can see some success. I also think we have guys like Chapman and Barreto waiting to come up. And I think we're looking at a team of the future in a couple years.
Excellent point. Look at that optimism. Looking on the bright side of things.
Wow.
Not exactly the case, though, with this article ESPN put up. Multiple individuals involved. What was it titled? Something like the one big concern for every team? One bold statement for every team? Thanks. I didn't want to really put you to, you know, out to pasture there. Looking at me like I'm crazy back in that room. One bold statement for every single team. You get sure. to the A's, you know what the bold statement is? They'll lose more games than everyone in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying I'm going into this expecting 90 wins, but there are a handful of teams that definitely are losing more games than the A's this season. Not even trying to play to the fans here in the Bay Area. That struck me as bold as you want to be, that's not how it's going to play out. Cincinnati, San Diego was the one that caught me. I don't see how the Padres
and the
are
going
to win more
going,
games.
You're right.
The
you're
Reds are tanking. The Phillies are tanking. The Braves are tanking. The Royals, just a few years removed from a World Series title, they're going to stink this year. Keep your eye on that. The Angels within their own division. You might have Mike Trout, but what else do you have on that team? And then watch out for Baltimore. They're not going to be very good either. The Pecota projections have them at 74 and 88. A's are projected at 75 and 87 based on Pecota. Do you think they're going to be the worst team in baseball?
Oh, no. I would love to take that bet, Lo. There's no way with the teams you just mentioned, the Reds just stand out to me as the worst team in baseball.
The Reds would be the worst
the
team.
The Cincinnati Reds.
If I said A's versus Padres, who loses more games, which direction would you go?
The Padres.
You think the Padres lose more games,
too? They're in disarray,
too.
The A's are in the right direction.
Okay, now on the flip side of the equation as it pertains to the San Francisco Giants, I want to read something off for you, and then I want to get Lowe's take on it because he can answer a lot of this. Since 1995, every World Series champion since 1995 has come together to average an age of 29.6 years old for position players. So eliminate the pitching staff and take only your position players, eight position players. Since 1995, the average age for the World Series champion position players, 29.6. Okay? Now, five of the last six World Series champions, including the Cubs last year, have all been younger than that. Baseball's moving in a bit of a younger direction than it did in the early 2000s when Boston was winning, and there's another one, I think it was the White Sox, that had an older staff, older positional player group as well. It's getting younger. The Cubs proved it last year. Houston's another one of those teams. 29.6 average age. Positional players projected to start for the San Francisco Giants this season. You know what the average age is?
What?
Exactly 29.6. Exactly. So that would suggest, hey, that's a great sign. That's exactly where you want to be based on 1995 to now for World Series champions. But if you don't get it done this season, and that's not to say that there's pressure to get it done. Obviously, you've had a lot of success lately. But if you don't get it done this season, Buster Posey's still going to be your starter the following year. He'll be 31. Brandon Belt will be 29. Joe Panik will be 27. Brandon Crawford will be 31. Nunez at third right now. He's 29, but who knows if he's the guy next year. Christian Arroyo may finally come up, so he would help your average. Jarrett Parker, who knows if he'll be the guy next year in left. He's 28. He would be 29. Denard Span in center, he's got a couple years left on the deal. He's 33. Hunter Pence has a couple years left on the deal. He's 33. Your average age next season would go over 30 years old. So you'd be on the wrong side of this equation. Plus, you have to keep this in the back of your mind. If Johnny Cueto has another solid season, he'll be opting out of that contract. That doesn't mean he won't re-sign with the Giants. By all indications, he loves being here. But when you reach that tipping point in terms of age, and you possibly lose your number two ace, with Samardzija not really delivering on his contract, you start to wonder whether or not the window at the moment is getting a little bit
thin,
smaller than it has been the last few years.
And the answer is yeah. And you got to realize, Joe, you got to see what's in the farm system. You got to look at the Giants and think, okay, Are they doing a great job recruiting young athletes and making sure that they're there in their form system? But right now, when you're just talking about Hunter Pence, you're talking about Span, those guys, they are getting older. And you know it. Sometimes they need to take nights off because of age and the legs. And the skipper, he likes to make sure these guys are taken care of. You look at injuries. Hunter Pence was known as the Iron Man. This guy was known as the Iron Man. And now you've seen every season Hunter Pence, you know, at time gets hurt. So when you look at this team and you say, does it concern you? Yes. And is the window shrinking? Absolutely.
Guru, last year the concern was the bullpen. This year, bullpen looks to be a little bit more solidified, even with the Tommy John surgery coming for Will Smith. Melanson, obviously a huge upgrade in the ninth inning. But the more I look at the outfield, the more I think this is going to be the issue. Hunter Pence, as Lo mentioned, big-time injuries. Almost missed a full total season with injuries over the last 2 years. Denard Span isn't getting any younger, and Jared Parker's a big question mark and left, despite having a very nice spring. Is that going to be the big concern for you as well?
Yes, mainly the platoon in left field. The fact that the Giants didn't go out and make a splash. But at the end of the day, we look at the Giants last year, Joe, and this team still made the playoffs. It had the Cubs on the ropes with their bullpen issues. And I look at them now, and I think, you know what? If this team is in contention at the All-Star break and the trading deadline, they will go make a move. And we cannot underestimate Bochy. He is the best manager in baseball. And you're right. I can't argue those numbers. And they're getting up there. That window is closing. But I just think when I look at Crawford, you look at Posey, this team can compete, and I honestly believe it's the only threat outside of the Dodgers in the National League to the Chicago Cubs.
It's now time, very nice segue, for the Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, fellas. Today's question, will the Cubs repeat as World Series champions? You can go to 957thegame.com to vote. Also go to Twitter at 957thegame and use the hashtag Take Your Pick to let us know what you think.
All right. We'll start with you. Your thoughts?
This one's tough because this is like that one team that you think can do it, but it is so hard for a team to really come back and win the World Series again. They went on such a deep run. It's definitely going to take a hit on their rotation, also not having Aroldis Chapman back. They did get Wade Davis, though. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this team comes back. I actually am going to go with the Boston Red Sox as more of a favorite right now, even with David Price going through the injury right now.
Anna is no on a repeat for the Cubs. Guru.
Emphatic, yes. This we're about to go dynasty like the soap opera back in the early 80s. This is a team that is loaded. They got everything you want, Lo, and I just don't see a more complete team in baseball.
Lo Neal.
I don't think so, Joe. For my reason is youth. Youth will be the enemy. When you're young, sometimes you get there early and you think, oh, my God, is this going to happen all the time? So I think youth may get in the way.
It was the game of the year last night. The game of the year. A 22-point deficit erased, resulting in a 12-point road win at San Antonio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.